Lord, this world is darkness, and we would be remaining in it if it were not for you and for your word and for your spirit, which opens up your word to us. Lord, as we come to consider your word this evening, we pray that your spirit would be opening our hearts and our minds to receive it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In this world, it can seem at times that we are surrounded by enemies. The truth that we tell as Christians is not popular in this world. Christ has told us that the only way to salvation is through him, and there is no other way. Repentance from sin and trust in Jesus is necessary to enter into eternal life and avoid hell. But if you try telling that to some people, they'll complain. How can you judge me like that? How can you say people like me are destined for hell? Enemies in this world are easy to find as a Christian. But we have enemies not only because of our faith. We would have enemies anyway. People who don't like us for our views. People who don't like us because we are competition to them. People who hate us because we did something wrong to them in the past. And our enemies are wherever we are. At work, at school, in the neighbourhood, over the back fence, and sometimes even amongst our family. All of us have enemies, and the most natural way to react to someone who hates you is to hate them back, to treat them the same way that they treat you. And it's also more natural and easier to hang around people that you get on with, isn't it? People that have the same views as you, people that enjoy the same things that you do. People who like you for who you are. It's so much easier just to avoid those people who hate us, to ignore them, to just cross over the other side of the road, to not go in their direction at all. It's easier to ignore an enemy than to welcome them. But Jesus says that is not the way we are to live. We have been called to live a different life, a holy life. We have been called to love our enemies. You cannot hate them. You can't even treat them with indifference or ignore them. You are to love your enemies. And this is a challenging point for us. Now, last week, we looked at the few verses before this. It is part of a larger section, which is called the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus, throughout this section, has been teaching the law properly to people. He has said he has not come to destroy the law, not to abolish it, but to fulfill it. And that not one bit of the law, not one jot, not one tittle, will pass until all things are complete. And then he sets about teaching the people the right way, correcting the many misconceptions that people had about the law. And he has taught the people how it matters not only how you act, but how you think, what is in your heart, how it matters. And he's taught that love should be the center of our being and that love has been the basis of the law from the beginning. And now Jesus continues by saying, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Does the Old Testament teach that we are to hate our enemy? There actually is no verse that says that. There are verses certainly that speak about loving your neighbour, but there are no verses that say, hate your enemy. Nonetheless, that's what the Jews were being taught. And even today, some would say that's what the Old Testament teaches people. Hate your enemies. The Old Testament is full of stories that speak of Israel's enemies being defeated. The Bible tells about how God commanded the Israelites to move into Canaan and wipe out the people that were living there. There are psalms that speak of the defeat of enemies and the rejoicing that takes place in that victory. So isn't love your neighbour and hate your enemy what the Old Testament teaches? No, it is not. Listen to the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 23, verses 4 and 5 says, "If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying under its burden, and you would refrain from helping it, you shall surely help him with it." What is that all about? Isn't that teaching love for your enemy? Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18 says, "You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord." Obviously, the command is to love your neighbour, but who is being described when it says, "You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge"? Is that the kind of thing you do to a friend? No, that's the kind of response that we would have towards someone who has wronged us. A grudge is for an enemy. Vengeance is against those who have been hateful to us. But the law says you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children among your people, but love your neighbour as yourself. You are not to seek revenge or bear a grudge. Instead, you are to love your neighbour as yourself. The law of the Old Testament teaches directly against hating your enemy. It's the very opposite. Of course, we could look at this verse and see that it says, talks about the children of your people. Do not bear any grudge against the children of your people. And so I have a little Pharisee in my ear saying, yes, yes, that's just my own people. Surely it's okay then to hate people who aren't my own people. Well, no, that's not what the Old Testament says either. Exodus chapter 23, verse 9 says, "Also you shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt." You see, the Israelites were meant to recognize what it was like to live outside your own homeland. They had lived inside Egypt, and in the beginning they had been treated very well. They'd been treated with honor and respect, but then in the end they were treated badly. And from that experience, they should have known what was the right way to treat strangers, the right way to treat others. The law teaches love for neighbour, no matter where they are from. So what then of all these stories of Israel and its victories? Well, we can understand that as Israel, getting back at their enemies, or we can actually listen to what the scripture says when it says that it wasn't Israel conquering their enemies, but Israel executing God's judgment. The Canaanites had sinned all that the Lord would allow them to. They had sinned to the point that God had said, "Enough is enough." And then God used the Israelites to bring about his judgment upon them. And then Israel learned the hard way that the same thing could happen to them. When Israel first came into land, they were God's justice at work in the world. But when Israel themselves went astray and grieved the Lord in their own sin, and God had said, "Enough is enough," God used the other nations to oppose them. And eventually the Assyrians and the Babylonians would be God's justice at work in the world against the Israelites. And they were destroyed almost completely. These victories were God's victories. These victories were God's justice and judgment being brought about. So when Israel was with the Lord, there was praise and thanks to God for his justice. When Israel was standing against the Lord, there was ruin and misery and lamentations for their sins. So the clear teaching of the Old Testament is that we are to love our neighbour as ourselves, regardless of whether they are our enemy or a foreigner. But the Jews in the time of Christ were being taught something different. They were being taught Love your neighbour, but hate your enemy. Enemies for them were easy to find. Israel was occupied by the Romans, and the Romans were their enemy. They would hate them. They would despise them. They weren't welcome. They were the oppressors. They were the persecutors. And if anyone else was against you, if people wronged you, well, you did not have to love them either. Love of your neighbour became constrained. It was about loving your fellow Jew. It was about loving those who thought the same way as you, lived the same way as you. It was all about loving those who you got on with. Everybody else could be treated with contempt or, at best, indifference. So Jesus needed to remind them of what the law taught. He said, I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. So what does it mean to love? Well, love is not just something we feel. Love is something we do. Love is how we relate to others. As 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. You know, these verses are often used at weddings, aren't they, as a description of the love between a husband and a wife, but that is not what these verses are for alone. It's also meant to describe the same love that you were meant to have for your fellow Christians. It's the same love that you're meant to have with friends. The same love that you're meant to have for strangers. It's the same love that you are meant to have for your enemies. And it's hard to do. It's hard to do because our enemies will do the opposite for us. They will not be patient with you. They will not be kind. They will envy whatever you have. They will glory in each victory that they have over you. They will glory in your downfalls. They will behave rudely. They will seek their own welfare at your expense. And they will be easily angered. They'll keep a record of wrongs. They'll attack you. And they'll never trust you. But we are to love our enemies. We are to suffer long with them. Be patient with them. We are to treat them with kindness. We're never to envy them. But neither should we be puffed up, proud, or boastful with them. We are to honour our enemies where honour is due. We are to seek their welfare. And we're not to get angry at them or keep a record of their wrongs against us. We are to speak the truth with them, protect them, even trust them. And we are to have hopes for them and persevere with them. We are to love our enemies. Is this how you treat your enemies and those who hate you? It is a hard ask. It's really difficult. But it's what we've been asked to do. It is how Jesus calls you to live. Why? He says in verse 45, then you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. We're to live this way because that's how our Heavenly Father treats everybody. God expresses love toward everyone. The supply of sunshine and rain is an example of his love toward mankind. It is his provision. And it doesn't matter who you are, does it? You will benefit from it. It doesn't matter if someone hates God, if someone despises his teaching and rebels with all of their heart, God still sends sunshine and sustains their life in this world. And we see also the Father's love in his Son. Jesus, friend of sinners, saviour of the lost, the one who died for us when we were his enemies. The love of the Father is also seen in the Son. And contrary to worldly opinion, when judgment from God comes, it is not something that he enjoys. It is necessary that evil is restrained, and it is necessary that the final judgment does come. But it is not something that God takes pleasure in. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11 says, "Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." So God is tremendously patient with mankind, giving time for repentance. And in this age, God expresses his love toward everyone, even his enemies. And because he is our Heavenly Father, we are to do the same. If you have come to Jesus Christ and put your trust in him, then you are a child of God. And as a child of God, you shall love your enemies too. My children are similar to me in many ways. I'm a bit of a technology nut myself, and my son has become much the same. He's very adept with computers and enjoys working with them. He is a chip off the old block. My daughter is different than my son, but she also has picked up traits from me, but more on my artistic side. They are my children. All our children pick up traits from us. You know, it's partly genetics, and it's partly because they grow up in our care. And the same thing happens with our Heavenly Father. We pick up his traits. His behaviours become ours. In part, it is spiritual genetics. You have been born again, and the Holy Spirit has been given to you to work changes within you. And so from the influence of the Spirit, you will see changes in your life that would never have come about except for him. But also in part, it is because you grow up under his care, under the instruction of your Heavenly Father, under his discipline. And so the family characteristic of love for neighbour, of love even for enemies, will come out. You shall love your enemies. And so we love all our neighbours, even our enemies, just as our Father shows love to all mankind. Jesus says in verse 46, "For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so?" The world is comfortable drawing boundaries between those that they will love and those that they will hate. It's easy to love those who love you, isn't it? The tax collectors in the time of Christ were recruited from the Romans from amongst the Jews. They received their income from the taxes that they collected from the people. And it happened all the time that they would collect more than was necessary and would line their own pockets with the extra. The tax collectors were despised on two parts. One, because they were siding with the enemy. And two, because they were robbing the people, making themselves rich. And yet, even the tax collectors had friends. So who would a tax collector show love to? Well, they're friends. They will show kindness to those who show kindness to them. And Jesus says, if you cannot love your enemy, well, you're no different from them. Even mobsters and criminals are kind to their friends. There is nothing special or godly about loving those who love you. God shows his love to all, even his enemies. And so should you. There is nothing special about greeting your friends and relations and those who are similar to you and wishing them well. If the Jews would greet each other in the street, the Romans would greet each other in the street. Everyone finds it easy to greet those who are similar to ourselves and wish them well. Having a fondness for people with the same background, the same interests and the same attitudes to life is easy. Everybody does it. But God shows his love to all, even his enemies, and so should we. The point is, as Christians, we are meant to be more like our Father in heaven than we are meant to be like the rest of the world. And if all we are doing as a church is simply meeting up with each other and greeting each other in the street, and we are not showing love towards those we don't know, if we're not showing love to our enemies, then there's nothing different about us. There's nothing godly about that at all. If you are in Christ, then his Spirit is in you. And Christ is meant to be shining through you to the world. The world should be able to see Christ in you. Your enemies should be able to see Christ in you. Strangers on the street should be able to see Christ in you. And they see Christ in you when you express love and goodwill toward them, regardless of who they are, or where they are from, or what attitude they might have towards you. We don't love others because we might be loved back. We don't love our enemies with an expectation that they will certainly be converted to Christ and then give up if they're not. We love them because that is what our Heavenly Father does. And we do it to be like him. We do it to please him. We do it because the Spirit is at work in us and changing us to be more like him. Now, it's important here to understand what love is not. It's very popular to say in this world that love equals acceptance. And that is not true for God, and it is not true for us as Christians. God tolerates the wicked, but he does not accept wickedness. And for our part, we cannot go along with sin, we cannot approve of it, we cannot teach it, we cannot condone it either. As that popular saying goes, we are to love the sinner, but not the sin. And if the teaching of the Bible is that we are to love our enemy, it also teaches that judgment is coming for our sins. And if we really do love our enemies, then to warn them of that coming judgment is and can be an expression of our love towards them, but it must be done compassionately, humbly, lovingly, and graciously. You know, we need to be careful about how we speak to others who aren't Christians about the coming judgment. We need to be careful about how we speak to non-Christians when we are rebuking them for their sin. We need to be careful because we need to be loving in the way we go about it. You know, when the people of this world are blind to their sin, they even like living in darkness. They don't understand how different life is when you live in the light of Christ. And they don't understand what we mean by many of the words they use. I mean, do they know who God is, really? Do they know what he is like? Do they even know what the word sin means? Do they know who Jesus Christ is and what he's done? Would they even guess that we actually see ourselves as sinners in need of the same mercy that they are? Do they know what repentance means? All these things, they've heard these words before, but they don't really know what they mean. And if anything, they have a very corrupted view of what these things are. So we need to be careful when we're expressing our love to our enemies in these ways. We need to be careful and speak gently and lovingly and humbly and with great care. If we don't, we're more likely just to push them further and further away. But there is to be no boundary for our love. We cannot love only those who are like us. We need to show love toward all, even to our enemies. And the initiative for being loving rests with us. They won't begin it. The initiative is with you. Jesus says in verse 48, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Love all your neighbours, even your enemies, just as your Father in heaven loves all mankind. And this is going to be one of the hardest things to do, but Jesus is calling you to live this way. How is it going to be possible? Well, we must remember four things. Firstly, we're not doing this because one day they will love us back. That's not why we do this. We love them because our Father in heaven loves them. Our reward for loving them isn't from them, but from our Father, who for a fruitful life lived will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. We do it for him. We do it to be like him. We do it to be like his son Jesus, because it was his example to us. It was Christ who died for you to save you from your sins when you were his enemy. It was he who died on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even in his death, he loved his enemies. We love our enemies because we want to be like Christ, because it's how our Heavenly Father loves the world. Secondly, we love our enemies because, well, even still, they might be changed. Within every enemy is the potential that one day, maybe not on our watch, but one day they might turn to Christ. And our love towards them can be a light to guide them to Christ. We were, after all, enemies of God at one point in our lives, and we were forgiven, and we were changed, and they too can be forgiven their sins, and they too can be changed. The power of the Spirit of Christ is immense, and the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of mankind. Love your enemies, pray for them, hold high hopes for them. And thirdly, remember that you're going to mess it up. You're going to fail from time to time. Sin still is in us. And so sometimes we're going to react poorly and get it wrong. We'll be vicious in our remarks and say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing to our enemies. But when we do, we should return to loving them. We should make amends, fix things up, apologize. Tell them what I did was wrong. It wasn't very Christ-like of me. I'm sorry. And then seek the forgiveness that you know that you will find in Christ. And then finally, remember that you are not alone in this. Yes, you have brothers and sisters in Christ about you, and each of us can be a help to one another. We can encourage each other. We can speak honestly with each other, share our troubles with each other. We can pray for each other. But more, you are not alone in this because Christ is with us. His Spirit lives in you, helping you to grow in love, bringing you that spiritual change necessary for you to love as you should love. You are not alone in this. You know, loving others is easy when they love you back. But Jesus calls you to love all your neighbours, to love the stranger, and to even love your enemy. It means we need to express love toward them. We cannot simply ignore them or avoid them. We are to love them. And we need to do this because we are children of our Heavenly Father. We do this because it pleases Him to see us loving others as He loves them. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the many ways in which you have shown us love. We thank you that you are a loving God, a God who loves all, who expresses his love even towards his enemies. But we do confess, Lord, that we haven't acted right in this way. We've shown hatred back towards those who have hated us. We've made enemies of people and not treated them with love. Lord, forgive us for those times where we have failed you. And help us, Lord, by your Spirit to be changed, to grow in love for all, for, even for our enemies, Lord. Help us to reach out to them as you reach out to them. Help us to be patient, to be kind, to not be boastful or proud with them, but to be gentle and loving, humble, to have a genuine care. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.